Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another blessed day and another message here. I recently had a young man contact me who was falling into sin, and he's struggling because he keeps falling into sin. He doesn't feel good about it. He's in distress about it. And I think that's a good start of how we feel about sin and our sin. We should never feel good about sin. I think the Holy Spirit will never let us feel good about sin. But we first have to understand that sin is going against the commandments of our Creator. And there are many people that are living in sin out there that don't know it and they don't feel bad about it. And this is a tremendous problem. It says in Hosea, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because you have forgotten my Torah or my instructions, my commandments, I forget you from being priest for me. Not only will you suffer, but your children will suffer. Why are they suffering? For this continued sin or disobedience. So even if you're not doing it on purpose, there's still consequences to sin. And that might be part of the reason why this young man doesn't feel good about it. But I believe truly he's feeling bad about it because he loves our Creator and he wants to be as pure as possible in every area of his life. And I consider a light amongst the darkness of the reality of the flesh out there in today's world. But I want to remind everybody here that though we're not perfect, you know, there's two sides to this. Our salvation comes through the blood of Messiah, not through our works. And if we say our salvation doesn't come through our works, well, and just through the blood of the Messiah, then what does it matter if we sin or not, right? Well, there's many consequences of sin, and the Bible clearly says that sin is connected to blessings and curses. And also, when we stand in front of our Creator on Judgment Day, He's going to judge who has true salvation. And I believe part of that judgment is going to come on our record of how we lived our lives. And when He says He also knows our heart, He knows how we felt about the times we didn't hit the mark exactly. But praise our wonderful Creator that we have a Messiah who did for us what our own works couldn't do. And this is really important to understand because there are many people that are excited about following a wonderful Creator, but we don't always live up to that. And it can be quite depressing if we fall into temptation or give into temptation. And sometimes people lose hope. So I want to partly give this message today to let you know that don't lose hope. We are to love what our Creator loves and hate what He hates. And we're also supposed to be understanding what the Scriptures say about these things. And ultimately, no matter what's happening around us, our Creator does want us to be obedient to His Word. Just like a father and a son relationship in real life. Or you give your children, whether it's a son or daughter, certain instructions of guidelines of things you've learned in your life, in your experiences. And you hope they follow them. Now, regardless if they follow them or not, you're going to love them, right? But they're going to be in danger if they decide to go outside your covering. And you don't want that to happen. You want the best for your children, and our Creator wants the best for us. And it would sadden us as a parent if our children went astray and they didn't listen to our instructions and they suffered for it. So we have to find ways as parents to reach our children and let them know this reality. In a way, they're going to accept it, they're going to listen, but many of them, especially during their teenage years, will rebel. And then our prayer turns to, well, we hope they come back home someday. Come back to us and our covering. And we see the example in the Scripture with the son that departed and went astray, but then he came back, and a dad threw a big event for him, and so on. His lost sheep, in other words, the coming back of the lost sheep. But one thing we must instill in our children, and I want to tell this young man who's suffering and everyone else that just as a parent wants the best for their children, the ultimate goal, at least here is not the torment of the flesh in this world and they're getting run down by this world and the oppression that goes along with it, but Yahweh's peace and shalom, that no matter what's going on around us, we could share in that peace and shalom that Yeshua brings us. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to Yahweh for his expressionable gift. And Colossians 3:15-17 says, let the peace of Yeshua rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful, let the message of Yeshua dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with the wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to Yahweh with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whatever word or deed, do it all in the name of Yahshua, our wonderful Messiah, giving thanks to Yahweh the Father through him. Hallelujah. So we must find a way, whether it's us going through our own personal battles and struggles with sin, or our children, or whatever the situation is. The scriptures tell us not to be dismayed, not to have the same worries of the world, to know Yahweh's peace through the storm. You know, and you know, in our lives, we're not perfect, and we're going to mess up, and there might even be severe consequences to those issues or those times we mess up. You know, but we have to remember that the scriptures are a complete book and not just one book or some part of a book. And yes, we are given in instructions or guidelines of how to live our lives. But we're also given this great gift of Yeshua to help us. And in no way am I saying Yeshua's grace is an excuse to continue sinning. But we need to remember what it says in Romans 3:23-26. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Yeshua the Messiah, whom Yahweh put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Do we understand this? This, to understand Yahweh's righteousness because of his divine forbearance, he passed over former sins. And it to show his righteousness in the present time, so that he might be just as the justifier of the one who has faith in Yeshua. When Yeshua received sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up his spirit. John 19:30. Yes, we do not want to keep on sinning. Romans 6:1-6 says, "By no means should we keep on sinning?" Not at all. We're supposed to be dead to sin. We need to know, for our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, and we should no longer be slaves to sin. And that sin no longer be our master, because we are not under the works of man and the works of flesh. And the systems of this world, like Judaism and all these other systems of Islam and even Christianity, we're not under that. We're under the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And we want to obey our Creator, not because we have to, but because we love Him and we want to. That's the difference. He wants our heart to love Him. That's why this young man that contacted me that fell into sin, you know, his heart is in the right place, because he has a desire to follow our Creator. He hates his sin, and I believe if you hate your sin enough, eventually you will stop. It comes down to that spiritual battle that they talk about in Ephesians, that we can't see, but it's there, happening all the time. And so we have to want to live according to Yah's word, our Creator's words, and not just do it because somebody's telling us to do it. To obey Yahweh because we love Him, not because we're told we have to. And this is why I explain to people, when I talk about the commandments, the guidelines, and the instructions that we should be following, but we should have an understanding of why we should be following them, not just following them. You know, so, you know, there's a old saying that if you teach, if you give a fish to a man, he'll have a fish. But if you teach him how to fish, he'll always be able to get some, or something like that. Well, if you teach somebody to keep the commandments, they might follow it. But if you teach them why to keep the commandments, they're going to know and understand why they're doing it. And that's so much more important. You know, and I believe when it says in John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. I believe what they're talking about there is not that you don't love him if you don't keep your commandment, his commandments, but that you keep his commandments because you're in love with, because you want to love him. Because you're not keeping them for any other reason. You're not keeping them because you have to. You're not keeping them because somebody told you. You're keeping them because you truly love him and you believe it. You have faith in what he's saying is true and real. And you want to follow him. When it says in Luke 10:27, you shall love Yahweh with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. So love your neighbor as yourself. It comes down to love. It comes down to humility. All the traits that mimic Yeshua. You know, and Yeshua says, you know, we will find him when we love him and his ways and what he wanted. I love those who love me, and those who seek me those who seek me shall find me. So I ask you today, whether you're listening, if you call yourself a Christian or something, not just do you to follow the commandments, or do you think you're obedient to your local church rules, or you're doing the so-called works, no matter what you claim your faith is, I ask you why. What is the source behind that? Why do you desire to follow the guidelines and instructions of our Creator? Do you do it because, well, he says to do it, so I got to do it? Yeah, but why? Why are you doing it? Do you truly understand the love of Yeshua? And do you understand why? Not just what he wants you to do, but why he wants you to do it. That is the question. And that's what we need to think about. It says in Psalms 97:10, let those who love Yahweh hate evil. So if you're just keeping a commandment, not because you're necessarily doing it out of love, but you're doing it out of, because I'm supposed to, that hate of disobedience isn't going to be there. So when you sin, you're not really going to feel bad. And, you know, this is really happening a lot out there. This is why when I mentioned, to a lot of people about the guidelines and instructions of our Creator commandments, you get a lot of excuses. Well, we don't got to do that anymore. Well, that's not for us. All these excuses to essentially live in sin, because that's what disobedience is. There's no love behind it when you have that type of attitude. An attitude of love that says, you know what? I don't know if I'm supposed to keep the commandments. I need to study my scriptures more. But I love my Creator where he deserves that. And I'm going to look at them more. So you got two type of children. You got the type of child that his father said, don't do something. And when he does it, he feels bad. Oh, I don't want my father to find out. Not only am I going to get punished, but I hurt my father. I disappointed my father. And then you got the rebellious child that says, I don't care what my father says. I don't care what he thinks. And even if that kid is following his father's instructions, he's not doing it with the right attitude, with the right heart. You know, so we have to take the love to this level of like of just understanding why we're doing these things, and then putting things in its proper place. And that's when we can understand when the Bible says repentance brings refreshing. You know, when you ask a kid that did something wrong to apologize or something. You know, you get two kinds of attitude. I'm sorry with the rolling of the eyes. Like, they're not really sorry. They're just saying that because that's what you want to hear. But then you have the kid that comes to you crying. I'm so sorry I did this. And they're truly hurt by it. You see the difference in the attitude? And I will submit to you today that there's a lot of people in Christianity and Judaism that do certain things without love. They do things that mimic love, but without love. They do them more because they have to, but not because they really want to. And it's a problem. It's not a good thing. And so, you know, I think it's those people that are going to lose the spiritual battle, you know, in the long run, if they don't get their act right and they don't understand what love truly is. And how it truly means, of what we're supposed to be doing, and then to truly love what Yeshua did for us. Yeshua didn't have to do what he did for us. He didn't have to die for us. He didn't have to, but he loved us so much that he wanted to. And every single day he gives us something we don't deserve, because we don't hit the mark in every area. We don't hit the mark in every area. But every single day, because he loves us. It's not because he's doing it because, well, this is what I gotta. No, he wants to do it. And he wants to set an example for us. And he wants to teach us love and what love is. And we need to get the essence behind this, the idea behind these things. And to live this life, and you don't want to be a hypocrite. You don't want to just be obedient, but not have love. I'm not going to specifically name it, but there are some belief systems or religions, what you want to call them, out there that do that. They're obedient, but they don't have the love. Then on the opposite end of that, which we'll not talk about today, there are other belief systems that have love. They don't have the obedience, whether it's lack of knowledge or deception, whatever it is. But the Bible teaches us both. It teaches us to do the things our Creator asks us to do with love as the driving force. Do we get that? So ask yourselves, as you think about the commandments of our Creator, do you do them because you're supposed to? Or do you truly love them? And you know when you love something. You know when you're excited about something, you love it so much. And you know when you have to do something, but you don't really love it, but you do it because you have to. Many people go to work every day at a job they don't love, but they do it because they have to. And they go there kind of like, not in the best of spirits, not in the best of attitude. They go there, oh, I don't want to be here, but I got to be here. Many children go to school. They don't love going to school, but they have to. They have no choice. But then there are those people, they love their job. They can't wait to get up, and they go to their job. They love their job, and they do their job. And there are some children that love school. They go there. Not many, but some. They go there, and they love school. They love being there. And you can tell the difference. You can feel the difference about the people that love being there versus the people that are just doing it because it's something they have to do. And the more you start praying about these things and living like this, you could really see and sense it in other people. Who's doing it because they love it, and who's doing it because they just have to. And I'm not talking necessarily about charismatic people that, you know, put on a big show that looks like they love everything. They can get charismatic about going to the bathroom and stuff. I'm not just necessarily talking about that. I'm just talking about, though, just really loving, serving our Creator. This is why our Creator says to love mercy. I know people that are merciful. I know people that show mercy, but they sure don't love it. I know people that give. They tithe and they give, but they have a little tough time letting go of that money. I don't see them loving it. But he wants us to love this. To love what we're doing. And I do believe it starts with a heart like this young man has that's contacted me, that's struggling so much with messing up. As opposed to somebody that's not messing up, but just not doing too good about it. You know, not having the right attitude. And a big part of it is attitude. What they say, attitude and gratitude go together. So we want to make sure and check ourselves of and ask yourself, why am I doing this? And when you pray, say, pray, dear Heavenly Father, you know, I know you've opened my eyes to do certain things and to be holy and set apart. But am I doing this for a show for other people? Am I doing this because you want me to? Am I doing this for the right reasons? Or do I truly love this? Yahweh, help me love your ways. That's what David, the heart of David. Help me love your ways. To love your ways. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Help me to love your ways, Yahweh. Psalms 119. Show me the way I should go. And that's where he wants us to be. You know, let's take a look at our Psalms 119. And we could even see it and see David's love and feel his heart for our Creator. And David certainly messed up. David was one of the people that messed up worse than most other people in Scripture. But when it says he had a heart of Yahweh, he loved it. You know, that's the difference to love. So in the Psalm 119, which is a great example of what we're looking at today, David said, joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of Yahweh. So people who live his life, they're joyful. Joyful are those who obey his instructions. So they're obeying them, searching for them with their heart. So when your heart's into it, you're loving it. You're loving it. So obedience is all about, you know, what David was looking at to do. And he kept asking Yahweh, continue to open my eyes. Open my eyes to see things I haven't seen before. Teach me your words. Help me, but help me to love. In 119:41 it says, Yahweh, give me your unfailing love. The unfailing love. Give me the love the salvation you promised me, that I can answer those who taught me. I trust in your word. David just loved his word. He even says in the scriptures that, you know, meditating on day and night. When you love something, that's what you do. I mean, I certainly have some loves of life that I think about. I have a garden. I have trees. I think about my trees day and night. I think all the time. My children, I think about my children day and night. I think about them. And you know, my wife, I'm thinking about her always. Some people, it's their pets. Some people, it's their, sadly, money. But when you love something, you're always thinking about it. You're always finding ways to spend time with it or to help it or something. Or to be involved in it. And that's how our Creator wants us to be with him. David didn't just say, Father Yahweh, I know your instructions. He says in Psalms 119:97, oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. All day long. That's the heart we need. Oh, how I love your instructions, Yahweh. I think about them all day long. Can you say that? Not just about doing them, but loving them. Hallelujah. That's what we want to be. And that's the motivation and the desire and the heart we should have for him. To love them. And to know that they are wonderful and beautiful and great things. And it's really exciting. It's really exciting. And our Creator, remember, he said to love me with all your heart. Not some of your heart. All of your heart. All your soul and all your might. So, this is how he desires us to be and what he wants from us. And I pray that people can get a heart for Yahweh and what he wants us to do. And when we do make a mistake or mess up or even purposely do a sin, that we love him so much that we'll actually feel bad about that. And repentance doesn't mean just tears come in our eyes and we're going to feel bad about something that happened. But repentance means, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to do that again, Father Yahweh. And we would truly repent and come to know him and how he wants us to live in the way he wants to live. Oh, how Yahweh I love. Love. Living my life for you. The joy that comes along with that. I love that I have a relationship with Yeshua. I love that when people are upset in this world, I could find rest in you, Father Yahweh. I love knowing I'm under your covenant. I love knowing that even if I can't figure a way out and there's no way out according to human wisdom, there is a way out according to you, Father Yahweh. I know that you could do things that no human can understand. And I love that. And I love that you would love me so much to give Yeshua to die for me and give me another opportunity. I love, Father Yahweh, that you would cover me with his blood. I love, Father Yahweh, that you protect me. I don't just desire to follow you because somebody told me to do that. If that was the case, all it would take was discipline to be righteous. But I do believe it goes beyond that. And I do believe this is what Yeshua was talking about when we must go beyond the righteousness of the Pharisees. Beyond the righteousness of the Pharisees. To have the right attitude. Not just to do it, but to do it with love. That's what I believe he was talking about. And we need to love his ways. So my prayer today is that those of you out there that have ears to hear and eyes to see, whether if you're keeping the guidelines and instructions to the best of your knowledge or whether you're part of systems that you don't know them all or whatever, that you would have a love for him, you would desire to learn it and live in it, and just such an enthusiasm and passion to learn more and live more. And my desire is for myself that I would never lose that fire to learn more and more, that heart of David, to just love him and his ways and everything he wants me to do. And I even love the rebuke and the correction and the criticism so I could grow and be better. Oh, Father, how I love your ways. Praise our wonderful Creator. I pray you could all find the peace and the shalom in this message and the joy that I feel and the joy that our Creator wants us to feel. And I just pray that Yah could just continue lifting us higher. And it's all because of him. So let's be thankful, joyful, and loving. Have a blessed day, everybody. Thank you for listening. Yahweh be with you this day and always, everybody. Shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah
Life Ministry. Morningside Academy, the first private school in Port St. Lucie, has been providing academics with excellence since 1987. Morningside Academy offers private Christian education in a godly atmosphere, teaching truths that will last a lifetime. Morningside Academy provides excellence in academics, athletics, and the arts, while developing Christ-like leaders for today and in the future. For more information about Morningside Academy, call 772-335-3231.
Godfrey Electric Incorporated is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving Martin, St. Lucie, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric Incorporated specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric Incorporated is an underwriter of the WCNO ministry and is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or by phone at 561-833-3753.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.